good afternoon, and welcome back to the Doris Davenport Show. My name is Doris Davenport, and I am your host for the hour. I am so pleased to be back with you again today. You know, this is Gambling Awareness Month, and we are covering gambling awareness every Sunday this month. But just to kick off, I want you guys to know, if you hear a little fumbling, excuse me, or a little, the ears, my headphones. I am sporting a 1958. That's right. I said it. 1958 beehive, y'all. I am so, after wearing this beehive last night at the Timeline Theater Gala at the Ritz-Carlton in Chicago downtown, the theme was 1958, Step Into the Dawn of Soul. And boy, did we have a great time. Ronald J. Parson was the host. And of course, they raised a lot of money. And at the end of the evening, we danced the night away. Although they didn't have enough time for dancing this year. I have to say that was my only complaint. But we had a great time. And I loved looking at the people who came in their costumes and period pieces. And of course, I did the same thing. I came with my beehive. I was channeling my mom. My mom loved the beehive, and I have a picture of her wearing her beehive in a black dress, and I sent the picture of what I wore to my sisters, and they all loved it, and that was the only approval I needed. So, but I had so much fun getting ready for this event that I've decided I'm bringing back the old hairstyles. Ponytails are gone for me. I am bringing back hairstyles. So anyway, you all, the problem here is that my beehive doesn't like the earphones. But anyway, we'll work it out. This is WCPT. The number here is 773-763-9278. If you have a story that you'd like to tell about someone that you know who has a problem with gambling, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's someone you know, maybe you think you know somebody who has a gambling problem, maybe you think you have a gambling problem, and this is the time and place that you want to call, have a conversation with some of the experts that we have today in the studio. And first of all, you know, the Wayback In sponsors the Doris Davenport Show and all of these gambling segments. I want to welcome back Anita Pendour, Executive Director of the Wayback In. She's been with the Wayback In since 2002. Anita is a licensed clinical professional counselor and holds certifications in substance use disorders, gambling disorders, domestic violence, and anger management. Anita attended Loyola University for her undergraduate degree and Benedictine University for her Master's of Science in Clinical Psychology. Anita sits on the board of the Illinois Council on Problem Gambling, the Illinois Alliance on Problem Gambling, the Addiction Recovery Team in Oak Park, and the Oak Park Opioid Task Force. Welcome back to the Doris Davenport Show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back.
Ah, always, always. We have so much fun when we're together. And this week, we are also welcoming for the first time into the studio, Natasha, that's Tasha Porter. She's a licensed professional counselor, a certified alcohol and other drug abuse counselor, and a problem and compulsive gambling counselor. She has 7 years' experience of providing counseling to individuals and families struggling with substance and behavior addiction, as well as mental illness and other life struggles. She loves working with individuals and families, guiding them to healthier and happier lives for themselves. Natasha obtained her Bachelor of Arts and Master's of Arts Clinical Mental Health Counseling from Concordia University of Chicago in River Forest, Illinois. Natasha currently works at Gateway Foundation as a gambling counselor. And for y'all who want to know her a little bit better in her spare time, she enjoys reading, listening to music, and going on walks with her family. Yes, I told Ron, wait for me. We're going to take Mr. Precious on a walk together because I just am dying for a walk today. Anyway, welcome to the Doris Davenport
Show. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. So, Natasha, why don't we start with you? Now, actually, I'm going to start with you, Anita, because
All right.
we ran out of time last
oh,
week.
Oh, no. I am a little long-winded. So.
And I want to talk about the art competition. So yes. Let's talk about it right at the top.
Yeah, let's start with that.
Yes.
So, as you know, it's March, mm-hmm. which, mm-hmm. you know, happy St. Patrick's Day. We were just in the Are You Really Winning, representing at the Northside St. Patrick's Day Parade. And we not only want to bring awareness to gambling use disorders.
And did you have a float in the parade?
We walked. Uh-huh. So I already got my steps in. Ready for a nap. But yeah, so not only are bringing that awareness, we want to make sure that people have the ability to express themselves in a different way when they're choosing not to gamble. And so the art competition is back for the second year. We have opened it up this year to 14 and above. So we have a youth category, an adult category of 21 and above. Mm-hmm. And you can go on the areyoureallywinning.com website and you can click on art competition. It'll give you all the other information and submission. Submission deadline is March 31st mm-hmm. at midnight. And so we're hoping for everyone to really express themselves to kind of show us what does gambling use disorders, gambling recovery, mm-hmm. or just your life mean to you. And we really would like to be able to celebrate those.
That's fantastic. And this whole Are You Really Winning is co-presented by Way Back In and A5 Branding. And digital, A5 Branding and Digital. They're in partnership with the Illinois Department of Human Services. It's a public service campaign that aims to help people with gambling issues and provide ways to prevent losing it all to gambling. We do not want any of you to lose it all to gambling. So get your Tam on, your French Tam, get your paintbrush out or your clay, get your hands dirty, whatever it is that makes you artistic. Mm-hmm. Are there any specific categories that people have to follow, or is art art depending on what the person...
Art is art to you. Uh-huh. You know, obviously nothing copywritten or trademarked.
But it's visual art?
It's any visual art, mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm. So I can't make up a wrap and send it in.
I mean, you know, we haven't had that, but if you put it on a piece of paper and send it in, we don't see any reason why that couldn't work.
Okay. Well, hey, so I might get a spark of, creation.
Yeah.
Yes. Why not, right? So now, let's move on and learn a bit about Gateway Foundation. Mm-hmm. I was doing some research, and my goodness, Gateway is doing quite a bit in the space. Mm-hmm. Will you share with us the mission of Gateway Foundation and what you do there?
Well, my role at Gateway, I came in as a gambling counselor. We currently have an outpatient program that we provide treatment services for. We are starting to expand our gambling services because we, for the longest, have centered mostly around substance and alcohol. Mm-hmm. But now we're expanding to gambling because, as we see, it's been such a huge uprise in gambling addiction with the legalization of gambling mm-hmm. through the state of Illinois. And we see the need and importance of expanding our services to others, mm-hmm. to that community in particular.
Sure.
And so Gateway has been around for numerous years, mm-hmm. and you know, but I'm new to the organization. Mm-hmm. And so
lucky Gateway.
They are so very lucky. And so by me just starting out, I'm starting to learn a lot more about their programs and what they have to offer. And they are really good facility, and I think it's wise for people to take the opportunity to get to learn a little bit more about them, as I'm learning as well mm-hmm. as I grow into the program myself.
Great. And I see, like Way Back In, you offer mm-hmm. both residential and outpatient services. I did notice, and don't know if Way Back In offers mm-hmm. virtual services, but that stood out for me, mm-hmm. that you offer virtual services at Gateway. Was that as a result of the pandemic environment, or just in general?
Virtual services really was mm-hmm. most definitely correlated with the pandemic mm-hmm. because when you think about facilities, services that people can't reach out in the rural areas, mm-hmm. there's no support. You know, even for doctors and physicians, mm-hmm. you have to go 40, 50 miles just for basic health and mental health. You can forget about it, right? Uh-huh. And so one of the great things that I believe the pandemic did bring out of it, mm-hmm. unfortunately, it brought out a lot of ungood things, but the good things were virtual services, the need for help, like even for the anonymous groups. Mm-hmm. They were all face-to-face. Now you can talk to someone from Australia, talk to someone from Canada through Gamblers Anonymous, Alcohol Anonymous,
wow.
all these factors, you know, that mm-hmm. contribute to support. There's now a new avenue where people who might not see or might not have the necessary resources close by through virtual services, there's an opportunity still to get help. So there's a new layer of help that's available to those that wasn't there before. And I think Anita can speak more to that, as far as there was a lot of rules and regulations around virtual services for mental health providers that, because of the pandemic, it was opened up and it allowed us to do telehealth services, which I think is amazing, because so many people might, you know, struggle with social anxiety. And being in a group setting might be uncomfortable, but I can sit in front of a screen and engage, and that's a great way to begin getting past that fear.
There are so many reasons that virtual services are important. If you live in the city of Chicago and you have to ride the train with all the crime that's on CTA these days, who wants to get on any CTA bus or train to go anywhere? So virtual services, even in that situation, would be great for people. So I know I have to say this. I don't, can be very opinionated and political about some of these things. So these are my opinions and my not those of our sponsor or the radio station. But yes, crime is rampant, and I'm very happy that we have the virtual services for people to take advantage of in so many different areas until they address that.
And if I can chime in,
please,
Tasha did touch based on my one of my many loves policies, and it is, you know, the state of Illinois really did have an insurance companies and many, many policies that did not allow for virtual and or telehealth. People refer to it in multiple ways. But now that we have opened it up for gambling use disorder, it has remained policy to keep it as that. And not only are certain things that might stop people, like anxiety, but or, you know, maybe fear of crime, which is very real in the city. But I mean, I think Tasha kind of touched on it, like, Illinois is really large, right?
Yeah.
When we're starting the show, I just mentioned I drove all the way to Carbondale. I was like, whoa.
Bless you.
It's a lot of state. But there's a lot of areas that are very small and secluded. So there's not always a provider. Now, Gateway is large. Gateway has many, many places.
Yes, their listing is very long.
But it still can't be everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And so people sometimes just have physical boundaries that they can't get to. There are also disabilities, and many times people cannot either disabilities we can actually see, or disabilities that are emotional and we can't see, but they still stop people from leaving the house. Or sometimes there's just things like childcare, right? COVID did a lot of that. You know, kids weren't going to school. You were stuck in a house with them. And what were you going to do when you needed your therapy? So it has really opened up a lot of doors.
Yeah, and listen.
Or screens.
Or screens. No pun intended. Or yes. Anita, you know, when you talk about all of these issues with a problem gambling and the benefits of having virtual services, you know, I can't help but recognize that problem gambling awareness is in the month of March. Of course, March Madness is happening. The NCAA tournament is coming up. And just to let our listeners know how relevant this conversation is, Senator Blumenthal out of Connecticut literally today asked, he didn't ask, he urged sports betting companies to act responsibly with problem gamblers during March Madness. Now, when you have policymakers coming out and urging these organizations, these companies who are really all about profit, to be responsible, I do hope that that also means that they're going to be, you know, watching with an eye toward perhaps even penalizing them for, just like we penalize detergent companies and others for creating these pods with these bright colors that are, you know, attractive to children. These companies have a responsibility not to have ads that are attractive to children. And I'm sure that the scratch-off tickets that we like to talk about during the holidays probably have sports themes this month. And that, too, can be attractive. And now, what is happening at Temple? There's a scandal going on, I understand. Have you heard about it?
Oh, no. Yes. All news to us, but right. Do tell.
Well, spill some tea here.
Let me enlighten
your awareness. So there is a temple gambling scandal happening. Mm. And apparently, let's see if I can find out any information for you. Temple has emerged as a major March storyline following reports of suspicious gambling activity surrounding its games. So they're on the run to the AAC tournament championship game today, I think. And the Owls enter the matchup with number 4 seed. UAB is the number 11 seed in the AAC bracket. And so that makes Temple Surge all the more bizarre is the scrutiny. What makes Temple Surge all the more bizarre is the scrutiny it's facing following a report of suspicious gambling activity surrounding Owls games. Amid the proliferation of legalized sports gambling across the country, millions of fans can wager on games with a few taps on their phone, bringing renewed fears among some in the industry about point shaving and other potential issues. Alabama's baseball coach was fired last season amid a probe into suspicious gambling activity, and college athletes in Iowa were found to be betting on their own games. Just to name a couple of the most high-profile incidents involving betting in college sports, but it's the U.S. Integrity. Didn't even know there was a thing called U.S. Integrity. Mm-hmm. U.S. Integrity is investigating the suspicious wagering activity surrounding Temple, according to Sports Illustrated. And it's a gambling watchdog company that works to combat illicit college sports betting and fraud. And so anyway, there was a 172 home loss game against UAB on March 7th. Paul, did you see that game?
No, I don't think I did.
Have you heard about the scandal?
No, I haven't.
Oh, everybody's learning today. Let's go to school, y'all.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you bring up a really kind of important, right? You bring up kind of fraud that can result. Mm-hmm. And this kind of leads us maybe to some of our newer kind of within the campaign that we like to refer to as Don't Bet Your Future. And it is geared towards college students. Mm-hmm. And it is geared towards those college students who do gamble but are not athletes. And then those who are athletes, right? Mm-hmm. I think we once had one of your friends here, Doris, right, who was a coach, I believe. And we talked about the pressure that student athletes are under, right? Mm-hmm. They're not professionals yet, but often they get treated as such. Mm-hmm. They are students first, so their education is, you know, kind of number one. They really need to meet grades to keep up their scholarships, and you know, there's so much already that's there, and now we're adding additional pressure on these kids, and I say kids loosely because, you know, I'm older now, but we're adding so much pressure on these young men and women to, you know, perhaps engage in some of these activities, or other people are engaging in activities, and this might result in them losing their scholarships, being expelled from school. And so we really ask that question, like, you know, like, don't bet your future. But we also want to warn everybody else involved. What are you doing? So this is an important topic that you bring up.
Yeah, these kids are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they pass these laws. And, Anita, we talk about this all the time. They pass these laws. But who's monitoring the activity once the laws are passed, right? So just to wrap it up, you know, there were a number of injuries going on. And there just didn't seem to be any known ailments that could explain these large swings in these points and results. So this scandal at Temple really goes to show you how even kids can get involved. Sports athletes themselves get involved in the wrong way, illegal activity. Right. You know, gambling can lead to that. And it doesn't even matter necessarily that the kids themselves may not be gambling, but if they're doing things like faking injuries or faking, you know, plays or something to make their team lose, that's a problem.
It is, right? Because we take away that whole integrity of the game. Right. We take away from those who are real athletes. Mm-hmm. And we are putting on that extra pressure on them. And we don't really often know why they're doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It might be that they're being threatened, right? Mm-hmm. I have read other reports of people who have talked about as athletes being threatened by, you know, mob-like people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being asked to actually shave some points. And they and their family sometimes get threats from fans saying, mm-hmm. you know, why did you score this extra bucket? Because then my spread was awful.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, there's not only, but there's fear. And, mm-hmm. you know, as Tasha works then with some of the youth, right, maybe then it's also like, it's not just the ones who might have a gambling mm-hmm. issue, but we're talking about mental health and how is mental health affected by the gambling that's mm-hmm. happening around everybody else.
Yeah, so Natasha, talk to us about that. How is mental health affected by a lot of these problems going on with gambling?
It impacts it in every aspect. I think the biggest thing is that when we think about gambling, it's a hidden addiction, right? Where substance and alcohol is very visible.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hide that. But gambling, you can. And so where someone with a substance addiction, you see the issue, and so there's a way that intervention can happen much quicker for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Someone with gambling, it could be a year later, mm-hmm. and there's so much that has happened within that year that has impacted their mental health. There's manipulation, there's the guilt, the shame, the anxiety, the depression, the spiral that someone goes through because they're so busy trying to keep what they're doing away from their family and friends. I'm for sure we've all heard this saying, we're stealing from Peter to Page Paul, right? And so all of that is happening while we're trying. At the same time, they're trying to figure out, how can I replace what's been lost before the people I care about find out?
Mm.
And then when they can't, then suicide rate is very high for those who struggle with the gambling addiction. Because imagine you have just lost everything, the savings, retirement savings. Mm-hmm. How do you explain that to your loved ones? How do you explain that everything that you work hard for is no longer there? You can't.
And I can imagine also in a home setting mm-hmm. that people who are trying to hide that addiction
mm-hmm.
From their loved ones don't realize how, in a way, how visible they are. Like, they're short of money.
Yes.
Suddenly they're saying no to every extracurricular activity that may cost more money mm-hmm. with no reason why.
Right. There's
and
a shift.
Putting a strain on relationships.
Exactly. Mm. There's a big shift, but not knowing, like, wow, you don't come hang out with us anymore. Isolation begins to happen. And you're wondering why they're pulling away. But once again, it's so hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You just think, oh, they're just having a bad day. They're just having, you know, because we all have bad days, mm-hmm. right? And no one can see those patterns because mm-hmm. it's so hidden. Where in addictions and substance alcohol, it's like, okay, you smell. there's an odor, right? You haven't bathed in days, right? I can visibly see the TV is gone, right? there are cute things that let you know I'm top that something is happening. But with gambling, we can borrow from a friend to replace what was taken, and you wouldn't know that this mm-hmm. is happening. But this person has debt with everyone because they've borrowed from everyone to replace the money that they've lost because they're so busy trying to play this catch-up thing. And one thing that I just want to backtrack just a little bit, when Anita was talking about some of the reasons why our youth is gambling, one area that we didn't tap on is the social economics,
mm-hmm.
right? The reason why it's so tempting is the ideal of someone coming from a poor environment and you telling me you can give me $20,000 if I fake an injury, if I miss that bucket,
mm-hmm.
and that how that's going to support my family, right? So they're carrying this burden of a lot of our youth who are in sports is like, I'm doing this because I'm trying to get my family out of poverty
mm-hmm.
and give them a better life. And I can do this quicker if I just mess this game up.
Yeah.
How quickly all our issues can be resolved. And now this poor child is stuck in a situation that mm-hmm. has messed up their whole future. Yeah, interesting. If it comes back. So I think it's one of the big keys is also that social economics plays a major factor mm-hmm. in why a lot of our children are lost to this gambling as a result of them. And, you know, those who prey on them know this.
You know, I wonder, a question to both of you mm-hmm. In your areas of work. How, and I know there's a line of mm-hmm. separation of church and state, but I would imagine that churches should be front and center in this conversation. What kind of outreach is done to with churches mm-hmm. specifically? Because churches have all kinds of organizations, fellowships within mm-hmm. the church communities, and we have a proliferation of churches mm-hmm. throughout Chicago, Illinois. Mm-hmm. What kind of outreach is done with churches, if any?
Yeah, so as we're trying to do outreach with everyone, mm-hmm. and we're trying to really make sure that everybody's kind of getting this information, mm-hmm. churches are a big part of it. And, you know, I grew up Catholic, right? So you remember like all the bingo and everything. So sometimes we need to, you know, make sure that churches are kind of mm-hmm, on mm-hmm. par also.
That's
with
right.
Us.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, there is a larger outreach towards, and majority of persons within churches, like anyone in ministry, mm-hmm. has been trained, like Tasha and I, in mm-hmm. some type of counseling. So really they're kind of getting this much quicker. Mm-hmm. And when ICPG, the Illinois Council on Problem Gambling, just did their last mm-hmm. conference in February mm-hmm. for kind of African-American mm-hmm. On problem gambling, we really made sure that a lot of the preachers and community churches were invited and were made aware of it so that they are learning. And there are ministers who really will teach and preach and make sure that the message is getting pushed. So mm-hmm. it's in the very beginning stages, like mm-hmm. anything that's new wish, mm-hmm. But definitely involving ministry mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, right, people don't necessarily call us immediately. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. usually reach out to someone else. Mm-hmm. So a friend or family member is usually who is the first one to intervene. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, churches are a big part of intervention. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I will talk to my preacher before anyone else.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, someone in the church will hear about it or see things. Mm-hmm. And if they can see it, they can steer someone to, you know, real support.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just another line of defense, if you will. Mm-hmm. But so if you look at the mental, I think you mentioned the socioeconomical mm-hmm. and the physical effects of gambling, what are the distinct treatments that you offer mm-hmm. for these areas for somebody who has a gambling disorder that might be different from somebody who has a drug abuse mm-hmm. disorder or alcohol disorder?
I think for the most part, I think we have the saying, addiction is addiction, right? And so there's the treatment that's provided is the treatment that we would provide to everyone. But the content of the treatment is what's different, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Some of that might be tailored a little bit different specifically for that population, right? Because addiction, how it impacts everyone the same, right? It's a part of the brain that tells them this is something that they can't live without. Just to keep it really layman terms, right? We're just going to keep it that way. And the ideal is to have them change how they think about that. And I always say that the whatever the addiction is not so much that it's the problem, it's just the thing you chose for your solution. We need to work towards what is the problem, right? What's the problem? Oh. What's the problem? We have to work towards what is the problem. And so, ideally, they've just chosen an unhealthy solution. Mm-hmm. So, our goal in our treatment facilities is to help them find new solutions to deal with whatever that problem was. And sometimes in facilities, you know, we don't get a chance to do that long-term work. So we have to be solution-focused and focus on what's the immediate problem that we're dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. Let's deal with the immediate problem. Let's get you to stop gambling. Let's get you to find resources. Let's get you that support network that you need to support one another. And then eventually, then we can work towards what's leading you there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's figure out what's your triggers. Let's figure out what's taking you there. Mm-hmm. So there's is a lot of the things are the same, but there's some things that are slightly different, you know. And Anita, do you have any more insights
into
that?
And I think
as
one
of
the things that we often kind of mention with gambling, right? The problem with gambling versus maybe a substance use disorder that often when we engage in, say, like alcohol consumption, we know it's not really going to solve our problems, right? It might make me feel better temporarily, but we know it's not going to solve whatever this main, my work problems, my pending divorce. But with gambling, we always feel like gambling is not only the problem, but also the solution. If I continue gambling, I will win, and therefore, right? And so we want to revisit, like Tasha saying, some of that thinking and those kind of thinking patterns. I was recently reading an interesting statistic, and it talks of sports betting, which we know that in the state of Illinois, right, we only have about 10% of people, 7% who are at risk, 3% who are diagnosed with a gambling use disorder. But like 90% of people can play responsibly and can enjoy it for fun. Yet we want to remember that at the end of the year, only about 3 people will actually make a profit or come up ahead when they're sports betting.
Is it really only 3%?
Only 3%.
So remember, do people know that?
I don't think they do.
But that's the whole point. Are packed.
That's the whole point.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the system is not meant for you to win.
Word. I mean, I know the house always wins is a line, but it's really not a line, you're saying.
No, it's not. It's really not.
It is there for fun.
Oh,
it is there for
word.
Entertainment
right.
if you can, right? If that is something that you can engage in. But it's not intended for you to make money. And I think part of the myth and part of a fantasy with gambling is that we always think we're going to come ahead. We're going to win, right? We're going to be this millionaire. I'm going to be the one in a billion. And that's where we often get lost.
Yeah.
But that's the fallacy, what we call a gambler's fallacy. But the thing is, and this is something I always talk to my clients about, that ideal, that fantasy of that big win, and this is how you know your addiction is real. When you get to that big win, can you stop? Can you stop? And that's the problem with someone who struggles with gambling addiction. They can say, all I need is this amount and I'll be good. But once they get to that amount, it's not enough because now I need, if I get to the next amount, how greater would I be? And so the problem is you can get to that number that you think is the ideal number for you that will solve all your problems. But the thing is, when you get there, you then trick your mind and say, but what if I get just a little bit more? And that's when the addiction is real.
Yeah. Anita gave an example last week, I believe it was, about someone who had won, and then they took all that winning and put it right back. I mean, they won like some crazy amount of money.
Yeah, and Tasha might remember Al, and you know, he talks about his recovery story, and he won $750,000 in a casino, right? First time. Well, he was a what he refers to himself as a normal gambler, but big win at a casino, and then he says that that kind of just triggered weekly trips and then daily trips to the casino, and then spending putting all of that back, and then some more, right? So it's unlike many other forms of business, we don't see gambling as a form of business. So we're not like, well, I'm going to cash out and go pay down my mortgage, right? Like, we're like, well, if I want $750, what's next?
Right, because I've beat the system. That's the thrill. I've beat the system. I'm the one that did it.
One of the 3%.
One of the 3%. But see, then you quickly become that percentage that loses it as well.
Right. You're back to the 97.
You quickly become that percentage that loses it.
So what, now if we think about the historical perspective of problem gambling, right? I mean, Anita, we've been doing this a couple of years now, right? So, but let's go back, way back. How has the perception of gambling changed over the course of history? Has have the numbers increased dramatically? Are they just staying stable and we just know it's a problem we have to keep keep tackling? What's the historical perspective on this?
A little bit of everything in there, right? So the National Council on Problem Gambling reports nationally about 1% of the general population is affected by gambling use disorders, and then 2 to 3% in that at-risk category. And those numbers, they've been kind of steady for 40, 45 years, right? So we kind of see it both as a steady problem, but also as a problem that's not getting better. And one of the things that we do know is that the more acceptable we make something, the more likely it is to become an addiction. And so with kind of the rise of so many different gambling venues.
And technology.
We're seeing kind of that acceptability and accessibility going up, right? So we're seeing kind of that, you know, those numbers not really going down, staying steady. And a long time ago, I think it is like in the 90s or so, but Dr. Rasour, who did some research, also talked about the fact that when you have something new open up, the numbers always kind of go up. And then, you know, they steady like over time, like everything else. You know, it's probably like when I see a new Starbucks open up and then I see like a line out.
Right, down.
I'm like, why is there traffic? I'm like, oh yeah, new Starbucks. And then, you know, like after a few weeks, you have your regulars and the people who live in the area, but everybody isn't showing up. And so we'll see the same. But in between, we're seeing kind of that consistent number, which is good, but also not great, because we continually see new people kind of in re-engaging in that addiction. So we really want to make sure that awareness is there that Illinois is a gambling-informed state. There's treatment available. So, right, we wanted to bring in a lot of our partners so people know that are you really winning? It's not way back in. It's everyone.
It's everyone.
So Gateway is doing a terrific job across the state of Illinois. Right, they're available virtually, so you know no one has to be left behind.
Yeah, you know, and speaking about that, I mentioned this also with Lyric last week. And I want to say how important I feel that it is that you are in this space, Natasha Porter, because we have one of the things we've talked about over time are cultural differences when it comes to some of these gambling, some of these disorders, gambling being one. And the statistics do show that African Americans have a higher risk at these kinds of disorders than a lot of other people. And I'm going to dig a little deeper in that because I want to have a segment on that, you know, that whole psychological aspect of why it is that this one community seems to be more impacted by this type of high-pressured, high-stakes anxiety more than other cultures. So I think it's important, you know, that you're in this space, that people... first of all, that anybody can learn from you, but, and particularly that others who look like you can hear it from an expert.
I think I first and foremost have to look to my our co-host over here, Anita, because working at what point I worked that way back in, and it was because of her that pushed me into the direction of gambling, addictions, getting certified. I wouldn't have even fathomed that. As something to
look at
do.
Anita.
I didn't even know. It was, I honestly
such
didn't
a good
even.
Mentor.
She was. She was such a good mentor.
Not pushy.
You work
not
with what you.
You
work with what you got, right? And so I think it was important that she pushed us in an area that I didn't even see as an area that needed support or help. Like in my background, like a lot of. But like you say, in our, the population of African Americans, gambling is very, is a huge thing. You know, I never thought that the lottery tickets that I would go to underage was able to purchase for my family was a bad thing, right? But I was sent to the store, as we know, we were sent to the store to get cigarettes. We were sent to the store to get lottery tickets.
That's right.
That was
with a note from your mom.
With a note from your mom. And after a while, you didn't even know. Box straight. Quick pick. You know, and I should not have been able to buy lottery tickets for my parents. But it had become such a social thing, so acceptable, that you didn't see the underlying issues for someone that's in a socially economic situation where there's poverty, that you're spending $100 a week on lottery tickets and you're already behind as we like to say, the eight ball.
Yeah.
And so, like they say, the math is not math, and that's the new term that the youth say.
The math is not math, right?
And so, in that, it's just like, wow, I did not recognize or see the issues that gambling presented. I saw substance. I saw alcohol. I understood that. I didn't understand gambling.
Well, you know, if we look at the future outlook, you know, we covered up a historical perspective, but if we look at a future outlook, what are you seeing on the ground as potential areas that we as the public should really, and people in media should be focusing on? We heard about the Temple scandal. Mm-hmm. We know the role of sports betting that's getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. There's the industry is starting to use social media and mm-hmm. videos to attract the youth. Mm-hmm. What is the future outlook and what should we be expecting and looking at? Any challenges that you mm-hmm. foresee?
Tasha and I both have teens, right? And so as we look at kind of the Generation Z, right, those younger kids, I have like an 18 and 16-year-old, I believe she's 13, right? Mm-hmm. So they're much more informed, and mm-hmm. they're much more open, and they are asking those questions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They're not afraid to ask, like, hey, Mom, why am I going to go get this? And I saw a sign that says lotto tickets are 18 and above. Mm-hmm. So they're not afraid to ask. They're also a lot more compliant with rules and laws. They're mm-hmm. a little bit more in a, and not in some sort of political way, but they're a little bit more on the conservative side. Mm-hmm. They are very concerned about the environment, and they're very concerned about their own mental health. Mm-hmm. So as much as we talk about, you know, what a terrible time it is because of social media and mm-hmm. so forth, I think that they have really, they might be the answer, right? Mm-hmm. My daughter was in some training once, and she's like, you guys are our future, and you guys are our only hope. So there's a lot of pressure. I'm 17. It's a lot of pressure. But I do have a good feeling that they are able to see through these things. Mm-hmm. They're able to look at the math and see the math for what it is, mm-hmm. right? They've grown up with a lot of social media, mm-hmm. media kind of around them, and they can decipher through these things. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that as we continue with some of these campaigns and allow them to see the mm-hmm. data, allow mm-hmm. them to see how the math doesn't formulate, right? Mm-hmm. If we're going to take away from this magical thinking, this fallacies, mm-hmm. this myth, and actually look at the numbers and say, I can do this mm-hmm. if I'm having fun, mm-hmm. but once I'm looking at this and this isn't fun, I might need to get help. And they're yeah. good at getting help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you teach what are some of the key concepts that you can teach kids about personal finance education mm-hmm. to let them know that the math can work? The math can math.
Right, right. I think you have to start, it has to start at home. Mm-hmm. And then I think it has to be where we're putting back in our schools the question about financial. You know, that has been removed out yeah. of schools where they're not teaching them, you know, you don't have to budget a checkbook anymore.
Although you should.
You should.
But you still have to budget.
But you still need to know how to budget.
That's right?
Right. And that's one of the things that we do teach. That's the one of the key differences that we teach someone with gambling versus substance. We teach them about budget and finances. Mm-hmm. And I think bringing finances back into the forefront, having children understand the plus and negatives, and have a healthy relationship with money will change how they look at money and how they look at how they should take care of their finances. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. I think that is absolutely where we need to be, without a doubt. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we start to wrap up?
No. So as we're mm-hmm. wrapping up, and yes, I understand today's Election Sunday, so, mm-hmm. you know, please choose.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Are there any policy issues we should be aware of in this round of elections?
No, Bill 4700 is getting updated by LaShawn Ford, mm-hmm. Representative LaShawn Ford, but I believe they've already voted on that.
Okay,
so,
great.
It is to introduce gambling into education, mm-hmm. just as we do with substance and substances, so alcohol and drugs, mm-hmm. within any kind of educational mm-hmm. setting.
Good, good. Oh. Nope. Anita covered it all. I have nothing extra to add. But just grateful that I got the opportunity to come on the show and just share. I appreciate the invitation, and I'm glad that we got to have this time to talk about something that's very important, especially during this month of March.
Absolutely. Natarsha Porter with Gateway Foundation, Anita Pendure with Way Back In. I thank both of you for joining the Doris Davenport Show. Folks who are listening, when you can't stop betting nonstop and gambling is affecting your relationships, your job, and more, ask yourself, are you really winning? This is Problem Gambling Awareness Month, and we want you to know you are not alone. You can get help by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-GAMBLER. Know the signs of problem.